Welcome to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's Indoor Air Plus podcast series. This episode is being recorded at the Energy and Environmental Building Alliance Conference and Expo in Denver, Colorado. The Indoor Air Plus team has the privilege of speaking with Ian Walker today from Lawrence Berkeley National Lab's Residential Buildings Group to discuss indoor air quality challenges and new opportunities in research.
Hi, we're here at the Energy and Environmental Building Alliance Conference and Expo in Denver, Colorado. My name is Nick Hurst with ICF International, and we'll be exhibiting and presenting here on behalf of EPA's Indoor Air Plus program. Today, we're sitting down with Ian Walker from Lawrence Berkeley National Labs Residential Buildings Group to talk about the challenges associated with indoor air quality and the research that Ian and his team are doing. So, Ian, thanks for being here. Could you give us just a bit of a background on what the Residential Buildings Group at LBNL does generally?
Sure. The group has quite a history. It's had a few different names, but the work it's been doing is pretty much focused on indoor air quality and energy use in homes, hence the name residential, right? So the group, since about the late 1970s, has been, they did some of the very, very first work on indoor air quality. They developed some of the very, very first blower doors to be used, which are now used a lot in the industry to measure air leakage. They developed some of the very, very early ones. They helped write the very first versions of the ASHRAE 62-2 indoor air quality standard back in the 1980s. And so the group has a long history of doing stuff related to ventilation and indoor air quality, and we're still doing all that now. We've also done a lot of work on heating and cooling systems, particularly related to ducts. We did a lot of work on how leaky are ducts and developed duct leakage test methods, much like we do for envelope leakage test methods. Other things we've been involved in more recently are looking at stuff like a lot more detailed work on indoor air quality and health impacts in homes. And something that we're really working on right now is a lot of ventilation standards historically have not been able to consider health. And we've learned a lot more about it working with other groups at LBL to actually implement health issues directly in indoor air quality standards, not just odor and moisture and perception and so on. Actually get down to you will be in a healthier home if you do that. So that's what a lot of our more recent work is being focused on. And over the years, we've also done work on things like retrofitting homes for energy efficiency. We've worked with the Passive House people and looked at deep energy retrofit solutions. So a whole bunch of stuff related to energy and indoor air quality in homes has sort of been what our group's all about and still is.
Sure. Excellent. Well, I know you're presenting here at the EBIT conference this week. Can you give us just a couple highlights on what you'll be speaking about?
Sure. I work for the DOE Building America program primarily. And one of the things that we're talking about here at the conference is sort of what is the state of the art in indoor air quality in homes and what are the new things we need to do? This is going to help guide DOE and their research planning. And the idea is that we're looking both, say, 2 or 3 years from now, what are the sort of things that we need to improve in existing codes and standards, and what's the research and the technical work to be done to back that up? What are problems and issues that builders face sort of in their sort of day-to-day doing business? Are there indoor air quality problems that they're scratching their heads about that we can help with? And also, you know, we're looking long-term too, mostly because we can't do everything at once, right? And so we're looking, you know, 5, 6 years from now, maybe we'll have very different ways of thinking about how we classify indoor air quality in homes.
Sure, great. Well, what would you say some areas of indoor air quality are that are kind of particularly difficult to research? You guys obviously have experience
Sure,
in that,
yeah.
But which ones are difficult to research and quantify, or aspects of IAQ that are maybe sometimes overlooked?
Okay, just speaking broadly, when we talk about health, for example, a lot of health-based standards, I'm not talking here about indoor air quality necessarily, but sort of more broadly, they're often based on very large-scale epidemiological studies, thousands and thousands of people involved. So you can have a control group and a group that has something change about them and look to see what happens, you know, and then societally we can decide we need to, you know, regulate this chemical in, or whatever you want to do. Similarly for, you know, OSHA that protects workers, they're looking at large populations, large sample sizes. It's incredibly difficult for us to do that in people's homes for a whole variety of reasons. Often there's issues of access. It's simply hard to get people to volunteer to have things done in the homes. Even when we're going there saying, well, we're going to do you know, a better job at, say, filtering the air in your home. So in theory, the air will be better, right? Less particles in the air. It's quite difficult to get people to volunteer to have crazy scientists come and measure things in their homes. And that's just sort of a very practical thing. But we're still looking at things like how do you actually measure pollutants. Some pollutants are easy to measure. Some are not easy to measure. Some you can do short-term, some require long-term. It's not a simple technical task to assess the indoor air quality in homes currently. There is a lot of work being done, both in the public and private sector, though, on improving sensors. Like, how do you sense various chemicals in the air? And we're not involved in that explicitly, but we're certainly working with the companies that are doing that. Because as a researcher, I'd love to be able to hold in my hand something where I clicked a button and 10 seconds later it tells me what the indoor air quality is. But that just doesn't exist and probably won't for a long time. But I think we're getting better. But for now, some things are just not that easy to measure and assess.
Sure. Yeah, that's very understandable. As you know, Indoor Air Plus is, to a large, in a large part, a prescriptive checklist of best practices, building on the Energy Star Foundation of energy efficiency, and of course adding building durability measures, pest prevention, control of radon in the home, and then of course the materials that we're bringing in, focusing on those as well. But it's not a menu of options to choose from. It really is a prescriptive checklist, kind of all or nothing. How do you see the building market changing as more IAQ research is being done and performed? And what role do you see for Indoor Air Plus in that market?
Right. I think that the biggest change we're going to see is probably people get more options. Rather than it just being a checklist where you yes, did something or no, didn't, we're going to have options to say, well, I'll give you an example from the world of ventilation and something that we're working on in the ASHRAE standard right now is, let's say you put a much, much better air filter in your home. Can you maybe trade that off against not having to ventilate so much, and then you can maybe save a little energy in the home because now you have a system that isn't just moving air, it's filtering it very well. I mean, in the past, we couldn't really do that because we needed a much better understanding of the health impacts of the various chemicals and so on. And as we've learned more about that, we can learn about those sort of trade-offs. And then you can have something which isn't just a simple checklist. It says maybe there's three paths to nirvana instead of just one, where you could say you could take this approach or this approach or this approach. And so, yes, it's more complex, but I think giving people options and adding that flexibility probably, broadens the market appeal. It gives people different ways to comply with, the voluntary standard you're putting together. And I think that can only be a good thing. But as I say, we're sort of in the midst of doing the research work right now that's going to let us, for example, make those trade-offs or come up with different checklists. I also think that there are some fundamental changes happening. For example, in theory, we do this already in California and a few other places do it too. In theory, we're going to have federal regulations on things like formaldehyde in building products. Mm-hmm. And right there, that could become one thing that you don't have to worry about anymore. If you can't put in high formaldehyde building products, then you don't have to worry about that, and you can move on to the next thing down your checklist of what are the pollutants of concern, and go to the next thing you can worry about. There's going to be, I think, a lot of progress coming on, and also there's the chance to maybe become more performance based rather than just a checklist. Maybe you can do things like make sure that people verify all the air flows in a filtration system, and that lets you do something else. So you get into diagnostics in a home about actually evaluating the systems that are there. I touched on this earlier. Maybe we're going to have some better sensors. We won't be able to sense all pollutants, but we might get to the point where a relatively affordable and easy to use handheld device could tell you something about one or two of the major pollutants in a home, and then you could actually test the air in a home. Now, you get into the debate about, if this is a checklist you're filling in one day, on the day that you test, is that okay? I mean, you've probably heard this argument before from radon testing, which has been with us a long, long time, right? There's always the question about, well, you tested today, or maybe it's over a few days with your radon sampler, but 6 months from now, is that still okay? Or a year from now, or 10 years from now, when the building has aged somewhat? And the current answer is, it's unclear. But I think we're going to have more of those sort of, Our ability, I should say, to test for different pollutants in the air is getting better. And I think so there's going to be more of that sort of performance-based stuff coming along in the future.
Yeah, very exciting. Well, there's a lot of exciting stuff happening here at the EVA conference, obviously. Mm-hmm. Indoor Air Plus is releasing revision 3 of the construction specifications. There's a lot of great research and knowledge sharing, from right. folks like yourself. And then, of course, practitioners in the field, the home energy raters and builders who are, kind of implementing this work and participating in programs like Indoor Air Plus, the Zero Energy Ready Home program. Right. Some of them are on stage very, very soon this evening, winning awards for the Home Innovation Awards for in DOE's program, which is great. So thank you so much for taking some time out of your schedule here to meet with us and talk about LBNL and indoor air quality. So for those of you listening, be sure to check out LBNL's research at indoor.lbl.gov. And also be sure to check out Indoor Air Plus on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at EPAIA+. And thanks again for listening.